What's shaking, my friends? Welcome to my podcast. I am the Trembling EMT, and this is my Parkinson's journey.
Welcome back. Welcome back. So excited for this episode. Today we're going to be chit-chatting on part one of two. I don't know if you noticed now, by now I love breaking stuff up into parts. So this is part one of interviewing Mr. Tim Hague. He won the Amazing Race Canada and is now a motivational speaker and speaking about Parkinson's and perseverance. And let's get started. All right, sir. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with me for a couple of minutes.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. So first, let's start off with your Parkey card. When were you diagnosed? How long have you? Or when were you diagnosed, and what was your first symptom?
I was diagnosed in 2011 February, so I'm just coming up to 9 years this February. First symptom was in August of 2010. I had been a nurse for a long time at that point, and I was sitting in my kitchen one day, and I saw my left big toe twitching. And I looked down, and I literally said to myself, crap, that's not good. And it was, I literally sat there and thought to myself, okay, what could this be? And I ran through things, and within 5 minutes, I came to the conclusion that it was probably either Parkinson's or MS, because my dad had passed away with Parkinson's, and I have a half-sister with MS. Okay. And I just knew you don't wake up on any given day twitchy for no good reason. So, yeah, and it's been all fun and game since then.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Now, what are your current symptoms? How far has it progressed since then?
You know what? I like to complain, I guess, like anybody does, but I can't overly complain because I'm not too bad. I still say I'm one of the healthiest guys I know with Parkinson's. I have a full left-sided tremor now. It's gone up my left side entirely. I stutter a bit. It's crossed over. It affects my voice a little bit. I get really quiet, and it ticks my wife off royally when I don't make the effort to speak up. And then I've got a bit of a shake in my right hand. I'm right-handed, so I can't hardly write anymore. I always had horrible handwriting. Now I can't even read it, so I know it must be bad.
I always say now I have an excuse for my bad handwriting.
Yeah, I never had an excuse, but now I guess I do. But fatigue is really bad. I can't, I've got to be very careful of how much stuff I have on my plate at any one time. I get overwhelmed really easy. So, you know, a lot of those cognitive pieces, that's basically what took me out of nursing, was the fact that I couldn't put a day together anymore. I was managing at the time, had a bunch of people under me, and I simply lost the ability to manage the workload that I had every day. And had to give it up. So that's kind of where I'm at today.
And I think that's one of the hard things I'm finding now is the fatigue and managing the workload and not being able to predict when the fatigue is going to come or how bad it's going to affect you.
Oh, I absolutely hate the fatigue, man. Last night I slept reasonably well, but the night before, for whatever reason, I was awake at 3:30 in the morning, and I was awake. I could not sleep. Finally got up, did a little bit, went back to bed, slept on and off for a little bit, and it just bagged me now for 2 days. I was a basket case all day yesterday, and today I've hardly gotten anything done because you just can't think straight.
Yeah.
And then you got the grandkids over, and I'm still trying to catch my breath from them leaving the house so I can talk to you.
Yeah, because you can't tell them to pause or to give you a second because they don't know what that is at the...
No. No, they're 4 and 11 months. So the 11-month-old boy, he's just a going concern, man. He just nonstop. And you know what? I met a guy here recently that he's 52. I'm pretty sure he told me he has a 3-year-old.
What?
3-year-old. I was like, what? And he doesn't have Parkinson's, but I just shriveled up inside. My soul died at the thought of having a 3-year-old now.
Oh, man. I can't even. Yeah, no.
I mean, yeah. I just turned 55.
Congratulations.
I mean, I was like, can you imagine having a 6-year-old? Well, maybe, I don't know. How old are you?
I'm 40. I'll be 42 in February.
42. Do you have any kids?
Yeah, I have a 16-year-old and then a 13-year-old going on 20.
Oh, yeah. Well, God bless you, man. Yeah, you'll make it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely
make it.
I've
got four. They're all grown, though. They're 29. He's married. That was Tim Jr. who ran the race with me. He'll turn 30 in January. He's got the two kids.
Nice.
And I've got a 25-year-old girl and a 21-year-old boy and girl twins. So mine are all big kids now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that part of life is pretty nice at the moment.
That's good. That's good. So the Amazing Race.
The Amazing Race.
Yes.
6 years ago. Six years ago already. I cannot believe that much time has flown by.
And now we had talked before, and we had spoken, well, two things before we get to the Amazing Race. We realized that we're parkies, as I've heard the term, are a select group of people that have one celebrities, or how did you put it? Their anniversary date. Celebrate.
Oh, how we focus on our anniversary.
Yeah. I found that interesting because it's true. And I can.
Well, I have not found any other group of people who focus on their anniversary of their diagnosis quite the way that folks with Parkinson's does. And I've always thought it a little odd. I mean, I do it. It comes around regularly. Like I just said, I'm coming up to 9 years. I've been counting it down for the last 6 months. And it's like, why do we do this? Why is that important?
Now, I also
there
have.
There seems to be something important in it.
It's true. But now, do you have a pre-diagnosis date or pre-diagnosis number? So most people that I've spoken to have their diagnosis date or year. And then say, like, I myself can track it back at least 11 years with all the symptoms.
Well,
and
right. I don't really, because the only things that stand out to me is one, like I said, in August of 2010 is when I first saw that toe tremor. And I remember the day that I first saw a tremor. Like, it's clear in my head. But before that, symptoms I don't think were very prevalent for long. The only thing I can ever pick out is the fact that I can't smell skunk, and I haven't been able to smell skunk most of my adult life.
Huh.
So I figured that part the symptoms might have been there way back, but there wasn't anything that really stood out.
As I'm learning more and reading more stuff, I learn little tidbits, that little symptoms that I'm like, huh, I remember that having that for a couple of years. I remember this. Because every time I go to the doctor, they ask me any new symptoms, and they read through the gambit of symptoms. And about my second or third visit, I was like, I've had those for years. I've had the sleep problems. I've had the constipation. I've had the night sweats. The night sweats were bad for a while, and I didn't realize that. They stopped soon after I started taking medication. Till the other day, I was doing an episode on sleep habits and having a good routine and sleep hygiene. Mm-hmm. And it mentioned
what a weird name.
Sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'd come up with something more original to call it than sleep hygiene. But anyway.
Yeah, healthcare is not original on coming up with names. But, and I read it and like a light clicked. I was like, that. And at that point, I had realized that I haven't had the night sweats for quite some time now, but then remembered having going at least 5 or 6 years with the night sweats. And it was just something horrible because, like, you'd wake up and you're like, why am I soaked? Like,
yeah. And I work out with guys who just sweat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they say they've never sweat at all in their life until they came down with Parkinson's. And now they even look at a weight and they start sweating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was pretty fortunate that I think I caught my symptoms, or at least any symptoms of any real noteworthy, pretty much as soon as they happened. And I've always been a little anal about, you know, what's my body doing? How am I responding to things? Because my dad, he had his first heart attack when he was 55.
Because most people in healthcare that I know are the worst patients. They always wait for, but they're never quick to pay attention to symptoms or run to get medical attention.
I'm not quick to run to the doctor, but I know I can tell you pretty much what my body does on a day-to-day basis.
You know, I...
A little fixated.
I remember it was in October of 2016 that I noticed it. And the only reason I noticed it because I happened to be in therapy. So I was for my shoulder, which at the time I thought it was a stiff shoulder. And every time I stood still, my right leg would tremble. But when I looked down to see if it was what was going on, it stopped. And it was the most annoying thing. And I went like that for quite some time. I think for a good 6 months. Till my thumb started twitching and I was sitting on the couch with my wife and she's like, you know, your thumb is twitching. I said, yeah, but that's not the only part that's twitching. She goes, are you going to get it checked? And my response was, well, now that you've noticed, I have to go get it checked.
And you wanted to tell her you were just thumbing a cab ride.
Yeah. From the living room. I'm full of them. Don't worry.
I figured she was mad at you and you're looking for a ride out of the apartment.
Well, yeah, after that, the look I got, if I could have made the appointment at 9 o'clock at night, I would have made it.
Oh, man.
And then I went through, I think, a year from the time I started going to telling my doctor, hey, I'm shaking, I'm trembling. I went almost a full year to get diagnosed by a movement disorder specialist, which...
Well, you know what the problem is? You're too young, and you're too black.
Yeah?
Right? Well, yeah. Who has Parkinson's? What's the typical stereotypical guy with Parkinson's?
Old white male.
Old, elderly white guy.
Yeah.
So here you are young and a black man, so of course you don't have Parkinson's.
And the one doctor that I went to, so I went to my primary, which she thought it was fasciculation and just the hours that I was working that I just needed rest. So she prescribed Flexerol, which made me a zombie for 2 weeks, to the point at one day at work, my coworker was like, are you drunk? I was like, at this point, I wish I was because I'd have a good reason for feeling the way I did, but it didn't help. It just made matters worse. And then... Yeah. I got an appointment with I didn't know what they were, but a movement disorder specialist, but the wait was like 8 months out. So I was like, I'm not waiting 8 months. Went to another neurology group. I don't believe they were an MDS. And they went through the whole gambit. They're like, oh, well, since it's right-sided, we want to rule out lesions or previous stroke. Like, I'm 40 or 39 at the time. Yeah. I was like, okay, they did the MRI. They're like, we want to do a DAT scan. I was like, okay. They're like, well, and I had informed them that my grandmother had Parkinson's. So they're like, it's at that time, they didn't, when my grandmother had it, they'd give you the medication, you stop trembling, you had Parkinson's. Now there's the DAT scan where they do the nuclear dye, this and that, blah, blah, blah. They went back and forth with the insurance for 3.5 months, back and forth. Every time they got denied. So I get an email saying, We've exhausted our measures. They're not going to approve it. So I reply, what do I do now? And they're like, well, you can start taking the carbidopa-levodopa or deal with the tremors. And I stared at the email for like a good 20 minutes. I'm like, did they actually, I can insist that I'm saying it, but they actually put it in writing. Like, there has to be more options. So at this point, the 8 months had passed, and my original appointment was, I kept it. So I was like, all right, I'll go to the doctor. I walked in. She was like, do this, do this, do this. She's like, I looked at your records. You have Parkinson's. I was like, all right, thank you. And she was like, here are the five medications. She's like, there's five types of medications. I'm only going to recommend four because you're too young for the fifth one. And she went through the gambit and said, where would you like to start? I was like, this is how our conversation should have been 9 months ago.
Yeah, it's fascinating, but I live in Canada, right?
Yes.
And up here, there is no DAT scan. And so we still diagnose pretty much clinically. You rule out, do an MR and a CT to rule out other things. But by the time I did those, my MDS was very positive that I had Parkinson's. So he put me on the levodopa carbidopa, and guess what? Well, he wanted to put me on levodopa carbidopa. I actually held off for a long time. Far longer now, looking back, than I wish I had. But as soon as I went on medication, my tremor went away. And now I'm pretty much a convert of the thinking that if I'd have started my meds sooner, I probably would have been able to stay in my job longer. Because just the stress of dealing with the tremor, the...
Now, may I ask, what did you go on first?
Levodopa carbidopa.
Levodopa carbidopa.
Yeah. So I figure for me, if I'd have started a little bit sooner, I probably would have got a bit more time out of my job.
But so like you didn't go on medication right after diagnosis? You waited a while?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I waited quite a while, which I kind of wish I hadn't done now. But I mean, I get the arguments. Folks are concerned about the dyskinesias. But in my case, I've had very little dyskinesias, very, very little. And I look back now and think, well, had I gone on the meds, it would have taken care of the symptoms that I was having. I probably could have stayed at work longer, and I'm not getting dyskinesias. So I actually gave up some of my quality of life earlier in life for a fear that hasn't materialized.
And there's a lot of people that have that fear. And then I've noticed that in the support groups that I've been to, that, and it's something that it's a true fear because there is a possibility,
And I don't discount it at all, because that's exactly what kept me from going on med sooner, was that fear of the dyskinesias. But I think we have to stop sometimes and be honest with ourselves that we don't know. And I look back now and I think, would I have traded better quality of life then for the potential of something later? I think I would have. If I could have go back and talk to my younger self, I think I would have told myself to go on as much sooner than I did. But that said, we're all different.
We are.
So we've all got to deal with the circumstances that we have and make the best decisions that we can.
And that's one of the frustrations that early on that I had, because I went to the doctor and I said, all right, so where am I going to be at, or what's the course of action? And she looked at me and said, I don't know. And you're the one that's going to tell me how you progress, and we're going to manage it that way. And that's how it gets managed. I was just like, well, that's no help.
Well, I want to know when I start getting the paycheck then.
That is true. I'd like to make one. No,
Dr. B, if you're listening out there, I love you. You're a great doctor. You can keep your paycheck.
Nice.
But it is a little frustrating, especially for young onset, because we've got so much stuff to deal with that, you know, an older set typically doesn't. You've got the kids still in school. I've got friends who've got very young kids. you know, we're talking in middle school yet.
Yeah.
High school, definitely. So you're trying to raise your kids and you've got this wicked disease that's giving you all kinds of grief. You're trying to be a good mom or dad, trying to maintain your job as best you can, and you're absolutely freaking exhausted day in and day out. And then you go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Or that, or you talk and they're just like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault because that's just... part of
it is what it is.
It is, well, yeah, what it is, what it is.
And unfortunately, we've been given that Baskin-Robbins type ice cream disease that has 31 flavors to it, and we don't like any of them.
No.
But we're stuck dealing with what we're served every day.
And that's the one thing that I can't, though. So how I came to know about you was through your TED Talk. About your best friend that you hate and perseverance, which I love.
Best friend that I hate.
I've listened to it about 100 times in the past. Oh my God. In the past year, I've listened to it about 10 times because I think it's great.
Oh, wow.
But it's true because it's one of those things that it has become a defining moment in my life. But it also has become a pain in my you-know-what at the same time.
Oh, it's rugged. I've often asked people, you know, if you were put in my position, or any of our positions, really, but specifically in mine, if somebody had come along and said, Tim, I'm going to give you Parkinson's. And if I do, I'm going to let you get on a reality television show. You're going to win. I'm going to let you go and write a book. It's going to get published. You're going to get to travel around the world, speak, do lots of cool things. But you have to have Parkinson's. Would you say yes? Or you can say no. I could probably still be a nurse today, go to work every day. Nobody know me, not be on any podcast, not done any of the things that I've done. But not have Parkinson's. Which would you choose?
That's
a doggone question.
That
man.
Sure is. That it sure is.
And I've mulled that question over many, many times, and I'm not sure that there's a real answer to it, but I know that the conclusion I've come to is that I've got what I've got. I wasn't given ALS, I wasn't given cancer, I wasn't given some other thing. I was given Parkinson's. So there must be some good reason for me to have this, to do something good for others, for myself, for my family, somehow. And because so much good has come out of it, and literally so much good has come out of me getting Parkinson's, is tough to say. I feel like that I'm compelled, I need to do something to try to give back and be a positive person in my world because of it.
Now, before the Parkinson's, did you ever have thoughts of writing a book?
No. I backed into a book, man. This was never on my radar. Never.
Yeah. I know the feeling about this. I feel the same way about this on my podcast. I would have never. Yeah. The foundation, I could have seen myself starting a new one just because that was the circle I had. I ran a nonprofit, or I was on the board of the president of a nonprofit organization, a cancer organization. So that I can see myself had doing it without it, but I wasn't even my idea. We were sitting at one a board meeting, and the entire board looked at me and goes, "So what are we doing for the Parkinson's community?" And I went, "What?" They're like, "You need to tell your story." I said, "What?" I was like, it took me by surprise. I'm like, I don't have a story to tell. And everyone's like, "Yeah, you do." And it was just like, I was like, Well, if I'm the only one in the room objecting, I guess I'm outruled here. And then this,
that's great.
The podcast was, I got diagnosed in February. My sister's birthday was in April, and I hadn't spoken to her much between, like, my dad told her. Because I called my dad, and we had been texting back and forth, so I called her for her birthday. And she was like, we were talking, and I was talking about what we were doing and what my diagnosis and all that, the symptoms and all the what, where, and how. Right. And she's like, you should start a podcast. And I was like, and at that point, I knew what podcasts were, had never listened to a podcast. And she gave me a good reason why, and I couldn't give her a good reason why not to. And by that time, I had the mentality of I was going to do more and just live my life to the fullest. So I was like, I'll give it a try. And
how long has it been now?
It's been a year. I started in my first episode was June of 2018. So it's been
been diagnosed 2 years, right?
Yeah, it'll be 2 years in February.
Wow.
Yeah.
You hit the ground running, man. It took me a while.
Yeah. And
I didn't get started with all this until after the race. I spent the first year depressed, sitting on the couch. The second year we decided we would apply for the race. So I spent that year kind of being excited about that.
Oh, no.
And the third year was post the race. But yeah, you got started quick.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've always been a look forward type of person. Like, I'm always like, all right. Because to the point where my first doctor's appointment was the nurse practitioner. She gave me the diagnosis. I was like, all right, what are the meds? She gave me the meds. I told her what meds. She wrote the script. I left. I got home. My wife had a book full of questions. And I was just like, I didn't ask anything. She's like, what? I was just like, she told me I had Parkinson's. I said, okay, what meds can I take? That was it. Like, I wasn't going to dwell on the... So when I came back to my second appointment, I'm like, I have a bunch of questions. She goes, let me guess, your wife has a bunch of questions. I was just like,
Exactly.
But I hit the ground running. I signed up for, at the time, for a backpacking trip through New Mexico. And
oh, nice.
It wind up getting canceled, so we went to West Virginia to High Adventure Camp for the
West Virginia.
Well, yeah, because the Boy Scouts. They have four High Adventure or four major camps. It's New Mexico, Sea Base, West Virginia. I forget where the fourth one is. So instead, we went to Virginia because we had all the dads had taken vacations. And we're like, listen, we can't go back and we're not going to waste our vacation. So we called around and they were making accommodations for the people that got displaced from New Mexico. So it was 5 days of mountain biking, rock climbing, canopy, zip line, and BMX biking and skateboarding.
Okay.
And I think that's my equivalent of the Amazing Race because it was. So the zip line was my biggest challenge because I was afraid of heights.
And yeah, I think I've heard you tell the story.
Yeah. And
awesome.
Well, for those who haven't listened to the story about me spending a week in Virginia and ziplining, counting my fears, overcoming my fears, not counting my fears, you'll have to tune back next week and for part two of the interview with Mr. Tim Haig. Thank you for listening. As always, stay strong, keep moving forward, and have a good day. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in. This has been my podcast, My Parkinson's Journey. And as always, I am your host, the Trembling EMT.
stay strong, keep moving forward.